Good and sunny God's peace morning to every one of you. We may say that under his wings we have peace and every day is good day. The text for this morning is taken from Matthew 20, chapter 20, of which I will read the first 16 verses. Would you please arise for the hearing of the gospel? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they murmured against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go away. Go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. There are many, many things that arrest our attention reading of this gospel account. It's not the first time that people are angry, whether it's one or many. And when good, that which is good, meets evil, there is a conflict. And we natural beings, we lean on our own understanding and we apply that judgment then to God, whose ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. Whether we realize it, whenever we take handle of things that they may go our way, we are actually upset with God, whether we know it or not. Ignorance is not a bliss. Many things indeed we do out of ignorance, not having heard. But we of all people in modern age, having rich history and Christian inheritance, we are without excuse. where the Word of God is living and it is to be read and meditated upon as living Word. It bows to no man, regardless of the office in life or what credit we may receive from our colleagues. The Word of God stands forever, and it cannot be overcome by evil, cunningness, or whatever methods are used today. In its simplicity, it speaks to our soul what man really is all about, and the results of sin that came because of Adam and Eve. These are realities, and they touch us deeply within our life and within relationships that we have. Today, political machine is running with full speed. Emotions are high, but allow me to say from this holy place that it changes no hearts. It falls short, regardless of good intentions and promises. Only the Word of God can change our heart, that we become neighborly and accountable, reasonable people, caring and not taking advantage of others. To our midst came Lord Jesus. The word had been given through the prophets many times, predicting his coming, but also pointing how God dealt with his wayward people from ages past. How God is good and compassionate, full of mercy and goodness. We know that Cain was angry at God because his sacrifice was not pleasing to God, whereas Abel's was. To think that created being is angry at his creator because of sacrifice was not accepted. The lines are short, there are much that can be said between lines, but I cannot venture into them, for it is not good. We simply leave them in their loftiness and glory, as such it was in the beginning, after sin, that created being is angry with God. We also find out that Joseph's brothers later, when Jacob's lineage was growing, Jacob had many sons, as we know, and there was Joseph. And they were envious of him because he seemed to be father's favorite. No fault to Joseph, and no fault to him when he saw dreams and would testify what will happen. These did not come from his own heart. They were given to him, but he dared to speak about them in the ears of those that actually, without knowing, hated good. We know what happened with Joseph and with his brothers. It ended up gloriously because Joseph's heart, by grace of God, was good. He saw beyond the present events why this thing had to happen to save people. Mark read, I may say, Brother Mark, I should call him with a higher title maybe, but the brother is sufficient, right? Read from Jonah. Reluctant prophet. How do we understand that a man who is a prophet is actually working against God's goodness? He wasn't doing that as a prophet, he was doing that as a man. So there's a difference when prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, or when he utters the things that may come from his natural understanding. But when he speaks as of the Lord, it better be true, because God never lies. False prophets speak in God's name, but they speak lies. They don't come to pass, and it can be tested. If nothing else, it leads away from God and His truth. There are many that are seeking followers to themselves, to be somebody's, but that title is not earned the right way. The pride of man, the pride of human heart is behind it, and it can camouflage itself in outward meekness and humility to a point of bewilderment. And it takes discernment on our part to test what things are truth, and sometimes to wait. And at that word, wait, I am not very good. We learn from our mistakes mostly, and they are burned to our heart because it hurts. Jonah had no pity upon those that were lesser than nation of Judah or Jewish people. And you read anything from Jewish history and their writings, they are it, the number one. And now number one is in midst of them, speaking of Lord Jesus. And what happens when number one meets the second number one? And Jesus said, you're evil, because you seek your own things instead of things of others. Jonah went away as he spake with God. My reason of going toward Tarshish is because I know you're so good. You will show mercy. Left to me, they are worth to be liquidated. Not too long ago, beloved friend and brother of this church, John was a pilot during the World War II, and whenever he spake, least with me, about these bombing missions, he never spake without tears and remorse, because those bombs had a target, and the mission reached many that made children orphans or lamed them for life, or outright killed them, burned them alive. This is the ugliness of human heart. We as people are moved by these winds. We don't understand what we may call brotherly love. We speak about it, but we don't practice it. Hitler, for instance, would never have risen to power unless there was a demonic power behind it. And that shows our vulnerability, that we believe so easy what clisters and looks promising, and we sell ourselves to it because it is idealistic, but it lacks the basic truth. And when the truth finally comes home, millions died. German people would not believe, for instance, what took place in the concentration camps. Nearby villages would not believe the stench that surrounded the valleys and filled the valleys came from burned human flesh. Who were there to hear the cries of the hopeless. Educated to the hilt, experimenting with human agony. How much a human being can tolerate pain while still alive without any Novocaine. And here we are in our text where Jesus namely is speaking with his own disciples who had left everything to follow Jesus. But beyond this, they had a hidden desire. What is our reward? We labor because of rewards. We like to have a good retirement, for instance, but we don't always know what will happen, especially in today's world. What happens when big things begin to collapse? All of a sudden, that which we took for granted has evaporated. And we become angry. But we don't see the roots of anger and disappointment in ourselves. We see it in other people. We vote people in. We want to have our thing. A little bit earlier in this, by the way, I don't want to be angry. I come out perhaps that way too often, but let me tell you, there is much joy in the Lord. I just speak to you as a person who is growing older day by day and perhaps sees more, like a German proverb says, so soon old and so late smart. Learning so late in life the kernel of the issue, as coaching all along the years expected from you, but not always speaking from the heart as it should come because you know the matter, but just coaching because you've been taught and you learn, and God forbid the pride to excel. Look at verses here in Matthew 19, closing verses, which is a catalyst or incubator for this illustration that Jesus gives concerning the householder and then his vineyard and laborers. Reading 19:27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Therefore, what shall we have?" It's a bargaining table. A lot of things today are done through negotiations, diplomatic efforts. Here is an element that is bargaining really with God. We have done this. What do you have for us in reward? And if we have enough power, we sure work it out that we have plenty. And if it's not us, let's draft our mother to do the bidding. Mother will come and say, "Grant my sons this or that place." That's the way we work, especially smart. They will hire other people to do that bidding while they are really in control of the situation. So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. To think that these disciples, namely Peter as a spokesperson, is reminding God what is good. Would you say that's holy arrogance? But that's where they were. When Jesus speaks about that he's homeless, he has no place where to lay his head, we also speak of that spiritual journey, that are we on the same wavelength when it comes to humanity, when it comes to God's vineyard and a labor that has to be done, because we are in the last days. And the last days can't be counted to us in the years we live, but also as a world develops, matures for the harvest. We are changing year by year. So the world is changing. And like a ripened fruit, it is hastened for harvest. But while there's a day, labor, while there's a day, for night comes and no man can labor. How do we labor if we don't have a knowledge of these things? If we don't have a word of God? If we don't have pastors and other teachers that equipped us in a church to be laborers as we leave the church? A church life is not just there for my coziness. It is not, if I may, just for high feelings. It is also receiving instruction and applying them, not to be hearers, but doers of the word. And the only way we can do this, when we meet people and angry situations, is to walk close enough to the Lord that we ask his advice. Which, sad to say, if not you, least I have failed time and time again. But what precious lessons, as the Lord say, you will learn that I am meek and lowly in heart. Not using power to gain power, but using power by giving it in service for relationships, that one might be saved. What a tremendous opportunity is Lord providing us to us in daily life. We meet people, the circumstances, and I don't think I'm wrong to say that many of us here this morning have hurts and anger. A man's anger does no good thing. So Jesus tells this illustration concerning the first and the last, how last will be first. Those that simply trust in God's goodness and their time, whether it's hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours. What have we done more than was expected? And why is he so good to us that we receive more than we actually are worth? Are we worth, first of all, when we sit here, that Christ should die for you and for me? That's how much worth we are to God. And if we are that much worth to God, why should I go there and demand better wages from him when he gives this salvation so rich and so free. When I can only give him brokenness and strife of my life. He gives me Holy Spirit, the reward in this life already in early stages, to empower me, teaching me to become more like Christ. The Word of God affects that. But to a dying day, it's only beginning and development. And we find plenty of faults with one another. But if you have a common call and understanding how good God is, we don't bargain and say what I've done. Because it satisfies your deepest longings. He makes you a man and a woman with heart. And a heart that God gives is full of compassion and mercy. It is not there for a show. The urgency, first of all, is a vineyard. I need laborers. Jesus said, pray for the laborers, for harvest is ready. The occasion when Jesus said those words, if I recall right, is when a woman of Sychar, from the well of Jacob, more or less, went to the village after Jesus had spoken to her and she realized, you're Messiah. I am he that speaks with you. First revelation to a woman of ill reputation. And she goes and talks to other villagers and they come with their white gowns flowing away in a breeze. And Jesus sees that, look at the harvest is white. These living things are coming toward to hear the word of God for themselves. And isn't that what it is? That we don't listen anymore for somebody else. I come that it be spoken to me. And that's why God in his wisdom and power takes us apart. He isolates us and speaks directly to your soul and to mine. For he is no respecter of persons, and yet he has desire that we would see the face of his Son. Early in the morning, that means urgency. A Jewish day begins at sunrise and closes at sunset. We could say that early in the morning, whether it was between 6 and 7 in the morning, he's out in a marketplace looking for laborers, and he finds some, and he agrees with them to pay them a denarius. Whether they were in negotiating with him, we want denarius, we want good day's wages. And he agreed with them. That's what the Word of God says. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for the denarius day, he sent them into his vineyard. And then, I need more help. God needs helpers. You are my hands. You are my feet. As Jesus would say, greater works than these you will do, as to employ multitudes for the work that has to be done, for the end will come. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And then he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went. No talk about denarius or good day's wages, simply what is right I give you. It's up to me. But these people went. He's a good master. He's a good householder. He will give well. We don't have to negotiate with him. He's good. We have come to know him. Would that be said too much? Again, he went about the sixth hour, that means 12 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, ninth hour, and it likewise. And about the 11th hour, that would be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Late afternoon, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" And a revealing answer is, they said to him, "Because no one hired us." In our case, it oftentimes is, somebody will come and ask, "Will you teach Sunday school this year?" Very few volunteer. Other jobs. So it goes down the line. What about the workplace? Who will do this? There's a story of a famous American Civil War hero. I don't want to mention the name because I probably used the wrong one, but he was a hero well known. And there's a soldier trying to help a mule to pull a gun torrent from the muddy rut or a ditch. And there's a sergeant yelling orders. And a general comes by with his horse and sees the dilemma, jumps off of his horse and puts his shoulder on the wheel. So is God. No need to be idle. Help is needed. Isaiah said, when God said, "Whom will I send?" And Isaiah said, "Send me." Sometimes they are promoted to go against opposition, like Moses, "I can't speak." But God sees better than we do. So anyway, then comes the pay time. Verse 8, so when evening had come, there's something about the word evening. It is like closing books. And may I say, in your presence, whether it is here or there, but oftentimes we hear of people that are in business, they hire help, they pay, things are going good, they overextend themselves, and all of a sudden you find out that you owe money to the worker, you owe money to the supplier, and you have overextended yourself and you have nothing to pay with. Now you get more chances, you become a gambler even more. And next deal will bring me the big pot. The things get worse. Whether I be man enough in similar situation to stand even before congregation and say, "I have brought shame to my Lord and to these dear people. I have every intention, Lord willing, that I get well to pay back. But that's where I am today because of my foolishness and pride. But in process I have hurt the innocent who have trusted that I will pay them." And the word of God speaks in the Old Testament that you should not keep wages of labor overnight. That you have enough for sure to pay the ones that work for you. That's not the case today. In this mad love for money and whatever, we forget that criteria. Spirit. Church no longer is a light. It has become determined. What is the word? You know what I'm looking for. A little bit further. a steward. We may say, Lord Jesus. The master, actually, the householder, tells his steward that you go now. It's a pay time. It's evening. Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first, not from the first to the last. You pay first and they go their way. They don't know what happened afterwards. But now, these that have done good work, have negotiated for wages, now comes the true situation where the heart is. And the Lord wants to bring that out to his disciples. Is this where your heart is also? Has church passed the day when it no longer mourns with those that mournful, or rejoices with those that rejoice, because our envy has brought an evil out of us? You have not done right. So willfully, God, in his wisdom, you start from the last. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. That's a day's wage. But when the first came, they supposed. That's the world system. I have earned that. Compared. They suppose. And that supposing becomes a law. And if there are enough people to vote for that law, it is enforced. Even against the good. And that's why they said to Jesus, we don't want to serve this man. In our eyes, he is not good because he doesn't give us more. They supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. When they had received it, they murmured against the landowner. Otherwise, they are angry, displeased with his maneuvering, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Self-importance and a bargaining chip is, we have worked all day. And justice would be served if you give more. That's the way we would say. But the Lord brings out the point. Did we not agree? You brought the denarius point. We agreed. What is waiting for me when the journey is ended? What will become of me? So that's the bargaining chip. And our Lord wants to bring home this. That's now how things are measured in the kingdom of God. That does not bring you closer to your brother, or give hope to hopeless and a food on a table of our orphans and widows. More and more in America, we are becoming a servant-oriented society. There are multitudes of people that work 10, 12 hours, or $12 an hour, maybe less. And then there are few, Lord willing, far apart, those that reap millions because they are so important. So important that they have great pleasure when buildings are erected with their name, when highways are named by their name. Even when church building is built, because successful, dynamic pastor. and midst of us is the Lord. Would he want followers that would follow after amusements and bread? But who would look to the human heart? Do you have need of my forgiveness and my reward? But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? And then kind of harsh. Like a sword, double-edged sword that proceeds from his mouth, dividing. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" Let me read you something about importance. I have this like old-time Noah, Lord's Ark, it's moved with a tabernacle. And I have these loose things that I carry along here and there. And I just took some and I looked over and I thought, that's not too bad. So I carried 2-3 with me, and I'm going to choose at least this one to read with you. Are you willing to be obscure? God will use failure in your life to break down that strong desire in your heart to see your name in lights. And when he finally breaks you of that lust for recognition, he may place you before the lights like you never imagined. But then it won't matter. You won't care if you're prime time or small time, center stage or backstage, leading the charge or packing the baggage. You're just part of the King's army. People of selfless dedication are mainly available. That's plenty. Available. Lord has a need of me. Even if it is late in life, even that my life has been spent mostly for self, now Lord has need of me. And he pays well. When you have faith and you trust him, you don't negotiate. You simply believe he's good. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. That speaks some great volumes of his goodness and of his mercy. What are the rewards? In Christian circles, we have various things where we talk about rewards. I remember one Christian sister, she had lived a little life here and there. But anyway, that I was saved, and I'm saved. I cannot lose my salvation. Once saved, always saved. But I will lose my rewards. Where are we going with this thought? Would you say those things today? Let me say in closing, I have another clip here. Not long. But this time, when the 3 disciples, we may say favorites of Jesus, inner circle, he took them up to a mount where he would be transfigured. And there are 3 disciples. And Peter tells, when he sees Jesus, Elijah and Moses. It is good for us to be here. This is a good place. They had a glimpse of things to come. And as Mark mentioned, Brother Mark, we shall see his face. The great reward in life is to see the countenance of God's face, where everything through that countenance is to you and to me. I love you. What is mine is yours. And with that, God's desire to become more and more the image that God is. It's a good place to be, to see the face of Jesus that shines. And be a part of it. Instead of being on that side where there's a curse, an eternal removal, darkness in which there is no hope. When you see someone being blessed, though they have not earned it, but when you see them in their need and they are blessed, you sometimes hear a waitress, someone left $1,000 tip, maybe $10,000, whether one businessman wants to outdo the other. But what it means to that waitress? Can she say, I earned it? No. The one I served was moved by God to pay me, though I have worked here and only so little. I promise. The nonviolent revolution is not a program of seizure of power. It is a program of transformation of relationships. Mohandas Gandhi. Then Justin, the early Christian martyr, his first apology, we read 150 AD, what the early Christians were like. We formerly delighted in fornication, but now embrace chastity alone. We formerly used magical arts, but now dedicate ourselves to good and unbegotten God. We valued above all things the accumulation of wealth and possessions, but now bring what we have into the common stock and share with everyone in need. Before we hated and destroyed one another and count their different customs, would not live with men. And on account of their different customs, would not live with men of a different tribe. But now, since the coming of Christ, we live closely with those who hate us unjustly, to follow the good precepts of Christ. Radio time is gone, tape time is gone. Deuteronomy, these are, promise you, last words. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, that is a year when all the debts will be erased away. The year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. In our text, the ones that received denarius in the beginning agreement were angry at the householder. And a householder is like God behind Moses and any Christian. They are not really angry at you, they are angry at me. But the point is, which one of these that earned a denarius would say to that home where a man goes only home for 10 cents, or let's say a part of the wages, feed your family with that? No. When it is in our power to give, I want to give. Because in comparison, have I earned God's love for me? It's a free gift. Therefore, what you have received, why do you boast as to say it is mine? It is still a gift of God to be used for God's honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, despite my promise as a speaker to myself and to loved ones that I would keep it short, I find myself to be very wordy. But I leave things into your hands, for the motives are as your heart dictates, that we would be supplied and edified as we meet together, that we would consider our stage in life and what you have trusted to us, whether they are mental abilities or other abilities, that we would use all those things to help our neighbor, not as a free handout, but as a lesson to lead them further. Lord, it is always in your kingdom that it is good to live where brotherly love abides. That's where we build our home. And that's where we have, where we can rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. In reality, in presence of Jesus. Lord, bless these dear people, and me included, in our great need to know more of Christ. Now lift up your eyes and your hearts. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.